The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. What a Friday it is. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, we are, as tends to be the case on Fridays, we are booked with guests.
Yeah, we are.
Paul Carr on soccer, Tim Murray, Chris Felica, Tim Murray on college hoops, of course, Bob Stoll, Dr. Bob on college hoops, talking Final Four tomorrow, Felica on multiple sports, Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. We'll have Michael Montesano in here to talk college hoops with us. So you and I have a lot of housekeeping to do. There's no time for small talk.
Hey, just take a step back from that ledge, my friend, okay?
First of all, let's get the real important thing out of the way. Did you have Ashke Bhatia at the top of your golf leaderboard?
No, I didn't. Oh, of course, he was one of the guys I just left off my card, too. Yeah,
3-shot lead for Ashke Bhatia. Just want to point that out.
Akshay.
All right. What's that? I'm sorry?
Akshay.
That's how much I was aware of him. Okay. Women's Final Four tonight. What are you doing on a Friday night, Kelly? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm staying home and I'm watching women's college hoops. Yes, I am.
There you go.
And I'm excited about it. South Carolina, 11.5-point favorites. A UConn men's-like spread. South Carolina, 11.5-point favorites against NC State. Remember, NC State and UConn have the chance of being both in the men's and women's college hoops finals. Dawn Staley, trying to win her third national championship. Here's South Carolina's record, zero, over this year, 2 years and 3 years. 36-0, 72-1, 107-3, straight up. Is that good?
That's pretty good.
11.5-point favorites. And then, of course, the nightcap, the one that everybody's waiting for. Caitlin Clark in Iowa, 2.5-point favorites against Paige Beckers in UConn. I have nothing pre-flop, but I will be watching. We'll see. Maybe there's an end game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did with the Iowa-LSU game. I'm with you. I won't have anything pre-flop. I will be watching, though, I imagine. And I'm looking forward to another good game, man.
I imagine. What else are you going to do?
I don't know. It's Friday night. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe a little Bed Bath & Beyond.
Exactly.
We'll see. And then the big one, the Final Four tomorrow, of course. Two of the five biggest spreads in the history of the national semifinals. And if you put them together, as Crack talked about yesterday, of all people, right? Crack was on this. Mm-hmm. When you combine them, the largest combined spread of any two semifinals we've ever had in any one given year. UConn, the Goliath. 11.5-point favorites against the NC State Wolfpack. That's the first one tomorrow as UConn just tries to continue destroying teams, not only on the scoreboard, but from a betting standpoint against the spread as well. The Cinderella story, that is the... by the way, I got that messed up. UConn playing Alabama. Hold on, I messed this up. UConn playing Alabama. Okay, playing the Crimson Tide of Alabama, 11.5-point favorites. All that applies to
I
UConn.
I hear what you said.
I think maybe I said it right. Maybe I thought I said the Wolfpack for whatever reason. But they're playing the Crimson Tide, 11.5-point favorites. I've got the future on Alabama. I have no intention, but I have no expectation that this will win. It's funny, even when folks were like, you're going to hedge. And I pointed out, I was like, there's no way to hedge unless they got out to a lead. And the point is, even if it's an early lead, there won't be hedge opportunities. And then if it's a lead later, this is the part we always leave out of this hypothetical discussion. If Alabama goes up, I don't know, let's just play with me here. And let's say they go up 9 and it's early second half. Will your brain be able to toggle at that point to, oh, sure, I should really hedge out of this future right now? Or are you like, I'm up 9.
Well,
what's the point? I'm riding it.
I mean, it is the ultimate example.
Yes.
I think you always do one of the best jobs of explaining when or why to hedge, right? And it's what's changed with your handicap or your
right.
bet. Well, and that's the perfect situation of being like, well, I'm up 9.
Yes, we tend to leave that part out of the discussion where you said your brain won't be where your brain is now.
Right, yeah.
So and
I think you're in a tough spot to hedge. I mean, I think you're riding with it. I think you're riding with it. And this game, from a betting standpoint, I don't really know how you bet this one for just because the variance we talk about with Alabama, like it's scary enough that I'm not running to lay 11.5 with UConn yet. It wouldn't surprise me at all if UConn just rolls by them.
I lean dog. I don't, just full disclosure, I don't have a preflop bet in either of these yet. But I lean dog in both of these. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I get it. UConn is a Goliath. Forget my future for a second. UConn is a Goliath. But if I'm just landing on this game right now, 11.5 points, still 11.5 points. And I know they've crushed everybody since. Remember, though, that Northwestern game in this tournament. They did kind of take the foot off the gas. Northwestern almost had a backdoor cover there for a second. So even if the Crimson Tide are competitive with the barrage of threes, which is clearly their strategy in this ballgame, just flood the zone, shoot 50 threes. And I mean that. I'm not just making up a number.
Yeah, yeah.
They've shot over 40 in some of these games already. Shoot 50 threes and see how many you make. That's one way to keep this obviously within the number, if not win it. And the other way is the back door could be open kind of thing. So I would lean Crimson Tide plus the points. I would also lean with the Wolfpack plus the points against the Purdue Boilermakers. And everybody's talking, and justifiably so, about, you know, the foul conundrum that officials have with Zach Edey. What do you do with this? I have said all week that I think it's going, if anything, it's going to be the opposite, that the officials are aware of what's being said out there. Boilermakers are 9-point favorites. If anything, they're going to bend over backwards to not have a foul disparity between the Boilermakers and their opponents, in this case, the Wolfpack. It was 33-13 free throw attempts in the last game for Purdue. I would lean Wolfpack here plus the points as well. Haven't made the bets yet, but that's how I would go. Yeah, underdog
one,
and underdog.
This is the one all week that you and I have been a little oppo on, although it doesn't sound like either one of us is that strong, because neither one of us has run to the window here to bet it yet. I'm still waiting to see where this moves. I'm going to be on Purdue at some point, though. I'm waiting to see if this maybe ticks under 9, perhaps. I can get 8.5. I think that big man battle is the key. I'm interested to see how the whistles go. Man, I think it's, if we talked mid-90s NBA, right? Like, Zach Edey is built for that. It's still one of the most effective ways to score. And have
DJ Byrne is Zach Randolph.
Efficient offense in basketball is to go to a big man. I feel like DJ Burns is just going to have his hands full trying to guard Edey, and you're going to rack up fouls. I could see this getting really ugly for NC State.
But you're right. If we came here Monday and we found out that both favorites blew them both off the court, is that going to be the most surprising thing in the world to me? It will not be. We actually have bets and some other things, though. One, two tennis bets. Let me get those out of the way. Coming, by the way, 1-2 yesterday in tennis. We hit the favorite, Tatiana Maria, in a match that was just delayed by weather and then by a power outage. It took all day to complete, but we got it done. Lost one of the dogs outright on Haley Baptiste in two sets. And then Francesca Jones, our plus 238 or whatever the number was on the dog that we had her at, she was up 7-6, 4-2, and gacked it. So it turned a big winning day into a unit of a loss day. Still up 25 units on the tennis season. Here are the two plays today. Luciano Darderi, minus 108 against Marcus Giron. These are all on clay, by the way. I think you can get a better price on Darderi than I got last night. So Luciano Darderi against Marcus Giron. Darderi is the play. And then fading Ben Shelton with Brandon Nakashima in a battle of Americans. Brandon Nakashima at plus 103, which I think is right around that price. The Nakashima-Shelton, Nakashima's at plus 105, so it's right around there. That one's in Houston. And the Giron Darderi is also in Houston. So both of these are stateside in Houston. There's like five clay court tournaments going on right now. So both of these are in Houston, Darderi and Nakashima. You have an NBA play. Last night in the NBA, it was a big day for play-in / playoff positioning, if you will. First of all, Warriors crushed the Rockets, so we can pretty much, even though mathematically it's not done, we can still pretty much Katie bar the door on any discussion of the Warriors getting knocked out by the Rockets.
Yeah.
That seems to be a done
Four
deal
games now.
Yeah, the issue is, of course, now in the Western Conference. You have in the 5-10 teams, the Mavericks through the Warriors. Here are your losses: 30, 31, 31, 32, 33, 34. So right now, who gets in the top six? Right now, Dallas and Phoenix on the inside looking out. New Orleans, Sacramento, Lakers, Warriors on the outside looking in. But that's the order. By the way, Clippers, big win, held on to beat the Nuggets. So the Nuggets one game behind in the loss column of the T-Wolves, as are the Thunder for the number one seed. Clippers get a little distance between them at 4 and Dallas at 5. And then in the Eastern Conference, the game of consequence, Philly beats the Heat. So the Heat now are on the outside. They're in the seven spot in the East. Same amount of losses, though, in the loss column as the six-seeded Pacers right now. And the Sixers one game behind in the loss column. You made a Sixers bet, sir.
I did, yeah. I did. I know we were talking about it all week and just kind of going back and forth. The timing was important to me, but I was watching a lot of that Sixers Heat game last night, and we just kind of by halfway through it, seeing Embiid play well. I mean, he was gassed, but seeing him play well and looking comfortable out there, I made the decision probably about halfway through that game. I was like, this looks like it's going to be a Sixers win. I'm jumping in on Sixers futures before they continue to get too short. And now where you pick up a win over Miami, at least put yourself into a position to play yourself out of that play-in tournament. That at least is enough for me, Gil, to get in on the Sixers 11-1 to win the East, 30-1 to win it all. We talked yesterday. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, who's left to face the Celtics? Who can make a run through the Eastern Conference? I do think the Sixers are a team that when we saw them at full strength earlier this year, you could easily have said they were the second best team in the Eastern Conference with prime Joel Embiid. So I'm buying in. We'll see where that ticket goes. It's obviously going to get a lot shorter if they avoid that play-in tournament.
Yeah, Knicks beat the Kings last night, which had implications for both teams because the Knicks, you talk about a log jam in the West. 3, 4, and 5 in the East all have 31 losses. Talking Cleveland, Orlando, and New York. Remember, in that case, you're jockeying for home court, yeah, theoretically in the second round. Bucks still have a 2-game advantage in the loss column for the number 2 seed there. A little more than a week left in the NBA regular season. Remember, 7 plays 8, the winner is in the playoffs. 9 plays 10, the winner will play the loser of 7-8. The winner of that game will determine the 8th position of the playoffs. So the play-in, NBA struck gold with the play-in, that's for sure. We'll come back. The bevy of guests beginning with College Hoops.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate those folks for supporting us, for you making us part of your mornings through any of those outlets. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada. It's the barrage, the D. You think Derek Stevens was like, we're going to call it Barcanada? Because I want it to be called the barrage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
By the way, the reason that we call it that is because in some of the printing of the signs, they don't put a space between bar and Canada. And so it looks like the Spanish Barcanada. And so that's why we call it the barrage. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris Valico on standby right here. This is from Jamie Leva, De Ernest Johnson. So good, he said. Ryan Thompson, your Ernie Johnson is by far your best impression. Now we need Kelly to work on his Shaq or Chuck. What do you say, Chuckster? And then Mikey Stacks, he listed all each date of the awards last year. So it does go. So April 17th last year was Defensive Player of the Year. April 18th was Clutch. April 19th was Coach. April 20th was Sixth Man. And then they waited till the next week to do most improved and rookie. And then you're right, May 2nd was most valuable player. So hopefully they put out that list here at some point, the good folks at TNT. New Jersey, New York, regarding the NIT final, we just had an earthquake in South Orange, New Jersey, less than 12 hours after Seton Hall wins the NIT. Lived here all my life, never felt anything like it, but 1,000% worth it. And then Buddhist Man, as Paul Carr was describing Chris Velika's vitriol against him, when Paul picks against our beloved Liverpool FC, I could feel my own anger building up as well, to the point where I was starting to shake. Then my entire house started shaking as well. What am I, telekinetic? No. Magnitude 4.8 earthquake. Chris Velika's in Connecticut. He's in Farmington, Connecticut. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He, of course, the host of the Bear Bets Pod. You know him as the Bear. You're in Farmington. Did you feel the earthquake? I know you did have Seton Hall in the NIT as a future, though.
No, I did not feel the earthquake. I don't know how far into Connecticut it got, but we're kind of in like central Connecticut, right near Hartford. So we did not get the tremor, but I saw the circles and the path. I wonder if my parents down in Long Island might have gotten something, because they're kind of near Holtzville, which was mentioned there. But here's the deal with Paul. Like, it's not vitriol picking again. It's his insistence that Man City, they did, John Stones is hurt, Kyle Walker, Liverpool has been out with, with like down like 9 first team players the entire season, and they just happen to just go along and win, and they're at the top of the table. So it's like Paul has this opinion that like the only team that has injuries throughout the course of the year is City, which is not true.
I think my favorite thing on this show, amongst many favorite things, is guest on guest crime. Guest on guest crime is my favorite thing. I just sit back and eat the popcorn and listen to it. By the way, Paul and Chris go way back, for those who are wondering. Correct. If Chris is
all in good fun.
Yeah, all in good fun. Congratulations on your Seton Hall future. That was something. Boy, oh boy. And we feel bad for our buddy Will. It's one thing. We're on one side of something, right? If you're on one side, you're happy because you won your money. It's very rare that you care about the other side because you're pumped about your money. It's like, forget those guys. I don't care that they lost. In this case, did you feel like, was there a little part of you that was like, oh my God?
I totally did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I wasn't really saying anything in the group text going last night. I actually grabbed Indiana State plus 4.5 when the first half, when Seton Hall got up like 9 or 10, whatever. I grabbed the Indiana State plus 4.5. It's just kind of a, okay, at least I have a free roll now on my Hall future if the Indiana State just come back and win. And then I did wind up winning both of them, but I had written it off at 77-70. I'm like, all right, it was a good run and got to the under 4 timeout and it came up short. But yeah, as you mentioned, the Robbie Avila three point shot early in that shot clock really wind up being a big deal.
Big deal, yeah. Do you have any plays in the final four games?
I like the under in NC State Purdue. If you look at what Purdue did against Gonzaga, the team that shredded Kansas, held them to 68, shut Tennessee down late. I think they'll do a good job on NC State, and who doesn't really want to go fast to begin with? So the only thing that I played was under 146.5 in Purdue NC State, and I'm just going to root for my UConn futures to come in.
Yeah. Good for you. Okay, I know you jumped on the Guardians March-April bet as well. Let me just update that for folks, because I know a lot of folks who listen to the show did have Cleveland Guardians, to have the most wins in the months of March and April, have it at 65-1. Here is the update on this at this point. Right now, the Dodgers have the most wins. They're 7-2. They are followed closely by the Pirates and Yankees, who are both at 6-1. The Guardians, our team, 6-2, followed by the Tigers and the Red Sox, the only other two teams with 5 wins or more. Tigers 5-1, Red Sox 5-2. The real sort of kick in the butt for us is that of all those teams, it is the Guardians that has the highest run differential, plus 30. So 2-1 run losses, 0-2. So we're kind of unlucky at this point. And really, the team that is the leader in the clubhouse, if I were to handicap this right now, is probably your Yankees, who, despite having only a plus 7 run differential, are 6-1, having beaten the Diamondbacks, and before that, the Astros, sweeping the Astros before that. Yep. They have 3 against the Marlins starting on Monday, and they still have 4 against Oakland later, and a couple more games in pocket than the Guardians. So you got to get your Yankees have to stop winning for us.
But you look at the Guardians have 3 at home against the Yankees coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, after the Guardians get back from that Minnesota trip, they got 3 at home against the White Sox, who should be hopefully a sweep. And then you got 3 at home against the Yankees. And then you've got, see, that's a good thing. They play the teams that kind of are ahead of them there with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And then they got a bunch coming up with the A's, who you should beat. And then the Red Sox, who have gotten off to a good start. So like, it's a good combination of games you can win. You should win against like the competition right now with the top of the, it's so funny how like the only thing I care about right now in baseball
is too.
Like how the,
it's amazing. How the Guardians
are doing. I turned it on. I had the game on yesterday because we got a free trial here with like the bases loaded package or whatever it's called. And my wife gets home from work and she's like, why are you watching an Indians game?
Yes.
Or she called it the Indians.
Yeah.
That not realizing who the guard. I'm like, is this like a fantasy league thing? And I'm like, no, I got Cleveland at like 50-1 to have the best record by the end of, and she like rolls.
She walks out of the room.
Like, that explains why.
But this is such a great example of whenever, you know, to the person who does not wager, this is such a great example of how betting makes you so much more passionate about something than if you didn't have the bet at all, right? Because today, the Guardians don't play. It's a rare, weird Friday day off. But But all I'm going to be locked into this morning, besides my tennis bets, is hoping the Yankees lose, hoping the Dodgers lose. I would never be that locked into that. You know, this like the second Friday or the third Friday of the regular season.
Like when the Orioles came back the other day.
Oh, it hurt us.
That 3-0 lead. I was livid. I'm like, we need the Orioles to be losing games.
That's right. Hope that doesn't come back and haunt us by the end of the month. So that's great. Soccer. Okay. You crapped on Paul's plays or thoughts. You have any yourself, Mr. Man?
I do. I got two for this weekend. And this is not like Liverpool rose-colored glasses or anything. I think there's a real chance that both Arsenal and City drop points. I played both Brighton on the double chance, plus 130 to win or draw. Brighton against Arsenal, plus 130, win or draw. Brighton has not been in great form lately. The rumors about De Zerbi, their manager, might be leaving. But this is one of Arsenal's trickier road games left. They're going to Brighton, where I think they've been undefeated in the last 12 or 13 matches. So it's going to be hard for Arsenal, I think, to get out of there with a win. So Brighton plus 130 on the double chance. And I took an even bigger shot with Crystal Palace plus 250 on the double chance. But Crystal Palace win or draw as well. You look at the last five times they've played City, they've gotten a couple of draws, and they've even beaten them. One, so like they play a very boring, ugly style, so it's probably going to be a little bit of a like an eyesore to watch. But I think there's a real chance that Palace is kind of they're going to stay up. They're not really in the other drop zone. They're just kind of in limbo. So I think they just kind of go out and kick it around and see what happens. So I played both those home teams, big dogs, on the double chance for the Prem this weekend. And then if you look at Champions League, I find the best price you can. I know there were some 50-1s a couple of weeks ago, which I didn't see or have access to, but Atletico Madrid to win the Champions League 13-1 was the best price that I had seen out there. If you look at Atleti's draw, they have Dortmund, it's a very winnable tie for them. And then they're in the quarters right now. If they get past Dortmund, then in the next round, they would draw either PSG or Barcelona, both of whom they're like teams in disarray. And certainly Atletico Madrid would not be fearing either of those two teams. Certainly Barcelona, who they've had a ton of success with in La Liga. So like that's their path to the final, where they would draw probably either Arsenal or City. So you get 13-1 on Atletico Madrid to reach the final, and they get to the final, you're in a chance holding that ticket to be able to make some money. So that was the other soccer bet of interest that I had.
Man, 12-1 right now at DraftKings.
There you go. Thank you. Man loves his soccer. We'll save NFL draft talk for next time you're on, Chris. Real quick, okay. In our last 30 seconds, have you made any Masters bets, or are you thinking about making bets?
I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, because it's kind of like I don't want to take 4-1 or 450 on Scottie Scheffler, but I don't know who I would want to bet. I think the guy closest that I would consider making it outright on would be Will Zalatoris, who is played really well lately. It looks like he's finally coming around with that new putter. He looks healed. He's played well at Augusta before. So like Willie Z would be the guy, if I were looking to make one outright right now, that I would. Because I'm anti-Rory. I'm out on John Rahm. I'm out on Justin Thomas. But like, it's hard to come up with a guy who you would pick outside of Scottie Scheffler.
He didn't say he's out on Brooks Koepka. I didn't hear that. Chris, Bear Bets Pod, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You got it, bud.
Chris Felica, everybody. The Bear. Multiple sports. Always. We'll come back with Dr. Bob next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free.
Split bet.
Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. It is limited. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Do not forego the potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits.
After that, you got to start Venmoing me. Then I'll give you the splits.
Jeez. I don't think that's allowed, by the way.
I think that's allowed.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's allowed. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Brandon Webb, not the former Major League Baseball pitcher, I don't believe. But he texted in. He has a thought. He's like, the Chiefs should draft Penix at 32. Let him sit behind Mahomes for 2 years, possibly experience a Super Bowl or two. Then trade him for 3 first-rounders. Only problem is the first-round quarterback contract.
Yeah, he'll be 34 years old by the time you trade him.
That's right. If you let Michael Penix sit, he's going to have to retire. But it is funny, though, that the Chiefs would have a luxury like that where they could consider such a thing.
And right? I make that joke, but I'm battling. Like, the Penix thing is something in my mind right now that I am battling because he is so good, man. He is so good. He probably has the best arm in the draft.
Do you think 6 quarterbacks go in the first round when all's said and done?
I don't know. Yes, I want to say yes.
LFC title records. Can I give a shout-out to my hometown of Mankato, Minnesota? Who won the men's and women's Division II basketball championships last week. We are the second-tier basketball capital of the world. There you go. Just gave the shout-out. Congratulations.
I thought that for sure was going hockey.
To everybody in Mankato, Minnesota. Mike Pena, I agree with your assessment of Steph Blurry's shot yesterday, but it was a wide-open shot. It was, but, I mean, you know, seconds are what matters more. You're right. If it goes in, we don't say a thing probably, but... Boy, that's a bad risk reward assessment. Talk about Indiana State gacking that game last night to Seton Hall for the NIT championship. This is let's see here. Sorry, we've got to get through some of these tweets here. We're on a backlog of tweets, and I want to get to everybody. Oh, MLB Network apparently was on air when the earthquake hit, so they got shook up in their studio. this is from Jack. Love Jason coming on the show live from a puppy mill.
I did ask Gil right when we got done with that. I'm like, has Jason always had a dog?
He's always had a dog. Yeah. He just has done better keeping it out of the room.
I was
going
to say, that means Jason's actually done incredible work over the years of keeping that dog away from his shots usually.
Guest on guest crime is my favorite thing, but listener on guest crime is my second favorite thing. Chris Heath, Felica's enthusiastic segue to Seton Hall coming off the apathetic update about how his parents' safety is was classic. That's so great. ladies and gentlemen, this guy won himself a Circa Millions booby prize back in 2020 for a cool $100,000. But his real expertise is in college basketball and pro basketball, by the way. We used to have him on the phone. Then we upgraded him to Skype, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And now in the D itself at Barcana, it's Michael Montesano. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
How's your wife doing now that the weather's poor and she can't go to the pool today? Is she okay?
She's struggling a little bit, but I think she'll find something to do in Vegas.
This was a big thing last night.
Yeah, she's really duped her into that trip.
Yeah. No, I told her that it's gonna be 80 degrees. It's gonna be great. You can lay by the pool every day.
Oh, you could have said on Wednesday. You'd be like, well, it's 73 in Vegas right now. Like, it's gonna be beautiful.
No matter what we talked about, she'd be like, wait, can we talk about the weather? Because she was very concerned about it.
That is rough. It's gonna be cold.
It's almost as if, Kelly, the climate has changed here in March and then early April. Okay, couple things. One, do you want to get the Wembanyama rant out of the way first? Do you have anything to add?
I don't really have anything to add. You know, each day it changes. Like, one day I wake up, I'm optimistic he's going to win, and then I wake up this morning and I was listening to Mitch and Polly, and there was a guest on. I forgot his name. I apologize. And he was a former voter, and Mitch asked him, if you were to vote, who would you vote for defensive player? And he said, oh, Rudy Gobert.
It's like,
and I just, it's and like he didn't really give a, I think, well, I think his reason was, now I remember, it was early in the morning, and he said that it was because Gobert had the better all-around season from start to finish, where Wemby did not start off well, and then he's just kind of taken off. I said, well, I thought numbers were numbers, and there was a scheme shift in there with Pop's, you know, moved Wemby to the five, and that took him off. Wemby took off with his statistics, but I didn't really understand the logic behind.
Were you screaming expletives at the radio?
It's kind of
like our buddy Drew, who we love, right? But Drew, you know, he was the first guy that wouldn't, you know, he didn't really want to entertain the discussion when I first brought it up more than a month ago, if not 2 months ago. And when he was on this week, I asked him again, and I really expected him to sort of concede a little bit on it. And he didn't concede at all.
No.
He was like, no, but it's Gobert.
Yeah, I was listening to the Dunked On NBA podcast. Nate Duncan does a great job with that. They were going through their kind of top defensive players at each position, but it started off with just the overall defensive player of the year race. They had two guys on there. They had they had Victor third at best, with Bam Adebayo being above him. Oh, Rudy Gobert and then Bam Adebayo.
On the other hand, right, Dennis Scott, Gilbert Arenas, Draymond Green, like it's Brian Windhorst. Like at some point, it matters.
It's at some point it matters, and those guys have platforms, and they're former players. And I think Draymond Green, being a former Defensive Player of the Year, he understands what it takes. And, you know, shout out to him for changing his mind, because no one ever wants to change their mind throughout any process of anything in our lives. And he did, and he gave you legit reasons why he should win. It's not just the stats. It's when there's a switch and when there's this and that. He gave you actual basketball terminology for why he should win it.
Yeah,
I'm in on it now. I mean, this is what I was telling you, what was it, yesterday or the day before, but just of when you see the increase, I don't care whether it's good, bad, or what they're talking about, but the increase in conversation nationwide, and now you're looking at odds that are 10 to 1 or close to that range. It's worth it based off of where the odds are.
Of course.
At
of course.
At least
of course.
A sprinkle.
Absolutely. You came in here, and there are two things you said. One was, I cannot wait to meet Kelly Bidlin. That was the first thing. And that's true, by the way. And two, you said, I'm more excited for the women's semis tonight than I am for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I am. We're talking about Caitlin Clark, probably could, you know, arguably the best college women's player that's ever played. And going up against the probably the best coach of all time in the women's game. And
I mentioned this at the top. Dawn Staley, because you're right. Yeah. Caitlin Clark thing like sort of waves this off. Dawn Staley and South Carolina, 36-0 this year. 2 years back, going through to the beginning of last year, 72-1 straight up. 3 years back, 107-3. Boy, did she really stink that year.
Yeah.
They lost twice. 107-3.
And no one's talking about them.
No one's talking about them.
Right. Nobody is.
Nobody. I
mean, you're talking about Geno, though, right?
Yeah, Geno, you know, how many Final Fours and national championships. And I do think he will have some type of game plan a little bit better than LSU did to stop Caitlin Clark. But I don't know. You know, when you're a great player, you're going to find a way to score. But the beauty about Caitlin Clark is she's so unselfish. She's rarely takes a bad shot. Everyone thinks her 26-footers are bad shots. But if she makes a high percentage of them, it's not a bad shot for her, as opposed to if someone else takes that shot.
Yeah, so. By the way, Geno, I should point out, because I got distracted by Dawn Staley. Geno's 1,200 and something wins against 161 losses.
It's career.
Yeah, and I think I heard Fezzik somewhere say that he hopes that Iowa wins and South Carolina wins, because he was going to jump all over South Carolina in that one.
So. Well, we were just talking about how Trip Tepper pointed out how the money line might be muted on South Carolina.
Yeah.
He's right. This is how all bettors should think. You should. And it's why I always ask about, with the anticipation of the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, I ask of Jay Conn, I ask of Drew Dinsick, what is the series matchup you hope desperately will happen, because you know the line is going to be out of whack?
Right.
And so that's Steve's equivalent here of, yes, if it's South Carolina and Iowa, there is going to be a way to exploit this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, South Carolina is just, they're a juggernaut. They're a monster. And, you know, their inside presence, it's very tough to stop and control.
So anything pre-flop tonight or no?
No, I'm just going to enjoy the games.
We didn't either.
I didn't have anything.
We're betting everything else. Tennis, draft, NBA, but nothing on this.
Yeah.
And we'll get into tomorrow here after the break, because we'll run into a break. But I just want to, you have an Alabama future. Mm-hmm. What is your, someone who has one as well, I characterized it this way earlier in the week. I've never been theoretically closer to hitting a big future while also thinking I have 0.00001% chance, right, of it actually happening. Is that your thinking, or would you allow for a little more hope?
I think I've allowed for a little more hope just based on the style of play that Alabama, how they play.
Yeah.
If they were not an up and down team, if they were not a 3-point shooting team, I'd say there's no way. But the way they play, I think they're going to surprise some people.
Well, that was the thing about the Dr. Bob segment a segment ago, where it's like he didn't have a play on the Purdue game. He's passionately betting UConn against Bama. But when I asked him, but which underdog is more likely to win outright? He goes, it's actually Bama.
Yeah.
Mike's thoughts on both of these games from a pre-flop perspective, ATS and total. That's on the other side.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Download the app. Use promo code VSiN. That's V-S-I-N when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Michael Montesano here at the table at Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. I just want to read this one tweet, Kelly. Mike Rouse, can Kelly please say betting splits in Ernie Johnson's voice? Is the only request we're getting. From Mike
I can't
Rouse.
Do it, Ernie Johnson, like you. Splitting bets.
We're working on it. Thanks for indulging, though. So again, before we get back to the two games tomorrow, the national semis, ESPN has not stopped talking about Bronny James entering the 2024 NBA draft. So now look, there's no NBA evaluator that would draft him based on talent level currently. He maintains his college eligibility. He's going to also enter the transfer portal. You were saying off air.
It's gotten ridiculous. I don't know all the details of this, but when you heard about Angel Reese
right
announcing she was going to the WNBA draft, I started picking up at where it was like, well, why'd she do this now, right? And apparently it's because they have 48 hours. The women have 48 hours after their season ends to declare for the WNBA draft. Yet Bronny gets to, on the men's side, yes. It's, I'm going to throw my name in the transfer portal, yeah. Throw my name in the NBA draft, see what happens. Nothing works out. I can always end up going to another college or into the NBA, and there's no time deadline.
Okay.
How is any of this fair?
And by the way, Angel Reese projected to be the 7th pick in the WNBA draft. How can I put this? Bronny not expected to be the 7th pick.
Exactly.
In
the not even the same caliber of players
in the NBA draft. So you were saying Michael Montesano, everybody, who was a Circa Million Booby Prize winner for $100,000 back in the day. You were saying, like, why wouldn't he stay at USC now with Musselman being the coach there? Like, you would think, wow, this is what an opportunity. But here's my thing. So when we get to NBA draft props, we've talked a lot of NBA draft this week, by the way, randomly. but there ought to be a prop. Will Bronny James get drafted? Because the fly in the ointment of him having no possibility of getting drafted is all it takes, right, is LeBron to say, to the Lakers brass, draft my kid, draft him now. I've got one more year and I'm out and I want to play with him. So like what could you even possibly make that number? Because that's really, it's like, that's the wild card in all of it.
I mean, on every mock I've seen, and just, I'm not a talent evaluator. Right. I've watched him play. I mean, he didn't even start for USC and his minutes were limited. And I understand he had some health issues at the beginning of the year and he's probably trying to work his way back from that. And I think he'll eventually get a lot better than what he played this year. And, but I just don't see him being drafted in the first round.
All right. Give us a minute on, you won the Booby Prize at Circa. For those who missed the answer to this question when it happened a couple years ago, what was the point in Circa Millions where you decided, I'm cooked, I'm now going to try to win the Booby Prize?
Week one.
Week one.
Right, week one.
What'd you do? Because what were you week one?
I was 0-5 on one entry and 1-4 on the other entry. So, I mean, go through back, and this is a long story, but I just kind of said to myself, I think I'm pretty good still, 1-4. Let me try to win with this one, and then I'll just flip it in the other. If I get on a roll, I'm going to eventually place. And I did place. I placed 47th, and at that time, it was, you know, it was only top 50.
Were you just
50.
Doing oppo?
I just did oppo. I think there was
of course you placed 47.
I think there was a couple I missed. I changed, remember. But that's what, I was really kind of more concerned about the first one. I didn't think I was going to ever have a chance at the Booby Prize. I said, well, if I give my, because there was only one winner. There wasn't a second and third place like there
is
now.
Right.
Did you coast in or did you need it to happen
I needed to go 5-0 the last, or 0-5.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And and I
so
got,
great.
It was funny because like for 47th, I think there was like a long list of people and I got like $300 or something like that.
It's amazing. Wow.
We always talk about that of like, when you get chopped down to when, a million people tie. But I mean, you and I, so especially this past year, how often we talk about the mental mindset of getting into picking losers.
But now, do you view this as that was my year? Like, I could have just as easily won it all that year because you were as good as you were bad. That was your year. It's never going to happen again.
Yeah, I don't think it's it's hard. I don't think it's going to happen again. Yeah. I mean, to win it now with how many entries, I mean, you have to hit 72%. I mean,
it's wild.
I don't know.
Yeah, winner was even above that. Why wasn't it 73 or 74%
when your friends asked you what you won and you had to explain it to them? Yeah. Were you like kind of sheepish about it?
Yeah, because
they don't really understand that you're as good as you are.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm a terrible better, and I won $100,000.
They're like, way to go, Mike.
Well, they say, well, that's easy. Anyone could do that.
Yeah. How much you win? Oh, actually, that is pretty brutal. Okay, college basketball national semis again combined the largest spreads. Two of the largest five individual spreads in national semifinal history, I shouldn't say in history, all the way back to 2003 when they've been tracking it, combined the greatest. Start with the first game. Purdue, 9-point favorites against NC State. What are your thoughts here?
I think the number is right on. It just depends on what narrative you want to go with. Both teams are, I believe, undefeated against the spread in the tournament. And we all know the NC State Cinderella factor. I do think Zach Edey is going to dominate this game. I for some reason, it tells me I don't think the refs are going to change the way they've been calling them all tournament. So
wow.
I think he's going to dominate. I think it's going to be close as far as to the point to the spread. I did take a play. I did take the under in the first half, 69 in the game. I think. Both teams play good enough defense, and it's going to be tough to shoot in that stadium. It's not easy, and I think it usually takes about a half for teams to get acclimated at that pace of play. Anyone go out and shoot a couple hundred shots to get used, but when you have fans and the sight lines, it's hard to shoot.
Games in Phoenix, of course, 146.5. Any thought on the total?
No thought on the total. I think it's right about where it is. I think the first half unders, it's a feel out process for each team. I think it'll be possession by possession. I think that's the way NC State's going to want to play as well.
Okay. And then Bama and UConn again, while stating you have the Bama future, as do I, 11.5-point spread, totals 160.5. If you did not have the future, how would you come into this game? What would you say?
I would take Alabama plus the points. It's just there's too much high variance that's involved with Alabama's three-point shooting. They got off to such a horrific start against Clemson, 1 for 13. And then when they got hot, they ended up with 16 threes in the last three quarters of the game. And I'm not saying they're going to hit 16 threes. If they can hit their average 10 to 11 threes, I really do think the stat that everyone should look at is the 2-point shooting. Illinois went in and they just tried to go at clinging every single time. And it was almost like, we're just going to keep doing it. That's what we're going to do. And I think Nate Oates is going to make some adjustments. I'm not saying they're going to take 16-foot pull-ups. I think they're going to bring Klingon out away from the basket and try to make it a 2-on-1 situation.
He's going to have to if Nelson starts hitting threes.
He's going to have to. Nelson's going to have to hit some threes, but they also have the Stevenson kid, the five-star, who just came out of nowhere, and he's a really good player. He just hasn't gotten the minutes.
He's the 1 5-star of the bunch.
Yeah, he's the 1 5-star, and if he's making threes, I mean, now you're bringing Klingon out a little bit further.
These, again, are at State Farm Stadium where the Cardinals play football. Yeah. So, it's always a thing. Okay, and do you agree with the first point I made? So if you have an Alabama future, and again, folks are like, what are you going to do with your ticket? Well, there's nothing to do pre-flop because they're huge dogs. If they go up 10-0 to start the game, you're still not going to do anything because the numbers the algorithm's not going to reflect anything dramatically at that point so early in a game. On the other hand, what I said was, let's say, just hypothetically, work with me. If they're up 9 points early in the second half and your moment, or let's just say it's halftime, so you have some time to actually think about it, your moment to hedge, quote unquote, would be right then. But being up that much, will your brain change to, well, I'm not hedging it now. They're up 9. Let's go. We're doing this.
Yeah, it's going to be if that happens, I'm going to have to just play that one by ear. I do think I'll have enough in my Circa account where to hedge just to try to get my investment on Alabama back. And if Alabama somehow wins, and then we're going into the national championship game, and then that's something we'll have to worry about on Monday. But I think you're right, though. If they get up 9, 10, 11 points with like 12 minutes left to go in the game, it's going to be like, I've got a shot at this.
Yeah. And at that point, what a bitter way it would be to lose in a national championship to a Purdue. That would be horrible. Just be like, oh, we came this far. Yeah. But for those who had, you know, obviously for those who had Indiana State last night, they know exactly.
I feel bad for anyone at Indiana State or Indiana State in the game. I did have Seton Hall, so I'm not in the game.
And even that was dicey that it got dicey. Home, for sure. Very Michael, pleasure. Maybe next time we'll upgrade you even further.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Michael, any time.
And you're not on Twitter, so there's no Twitter to give. But again, 2000 Circa Millions Booby Prize winner, Michael Montesano, all the games tomorrow. Good luck with your future, with my future as well. Good luck to everybody with your bets, college basketball and beyond. For Kelly Bidlin, it's Gil Alexander. Thanks for listening. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.